welcome back to another episode of Talking Bollocks with me, your host, Howard H. Smith. Hello, welcome. No specials, we're back to the regular podcast format. So, all episodes are special, obviously. That goes without saying. That's why you're here. Back again. Nice. And for those of you, it's your first time, well, there's a lot to listen to. Been here for 10 years, so go back and check it all out. I am your host, Howard H. Smith. I does this podcast. I sing in UK thrash band Acid Rain. I do stand-up comedy as myself and Keith Platt, professional Yorkshireman. I also do a football podcast, The Reducer. Check that out. And I also host The Motorcast, the official Motorhead podcast. Oh, haven't I been busy? Me. That's how this podcast starts every single time, with a big old dose of ego. So, there you go. How are you? It's been all about me, hasn't it? I mean, it's not like you've been doing nothing since the last time we met. I mean, you've been really busy, and I've been busy. And I feel like every time we start an episode, I go on and on about me, and I never ask about you. And that's out of order, really, isn't it? So it's a two-way street here. Now, this might look a bit weird. Wherever you are, make sure I do want you to reply out loud as well. Yeah? Now, if you're driving a truck on your own, not a problem. But, you know, if you're walking to work in the street, something like that. I think that's where that was going. This could be a little bit more awkward for you, okay? But I want you to say out loud, please, reply to me. So, how are you? And now, that's good. Pleased to hear it. What have you been up to? This is a bit awkward for you, isn't it, really? Anyway, let's do away with that now. Now that you have made everybody in the office, bus, aeroplane, lorry, swimming pool, changing rooms, I don't know, feel awkward, and they're all looking at you like, just blame me, okay? So, let's get stuck into the news. Oh, by the way, patreon.com/Howard H. Smith. Get down there, get on with it if you can afford it. If you can't, don't worry about it. Just nip over to like iTunes or fucking wherever, give me a quick review if you wouldn't mind. It's been over a year since somebody reviewed the podcast, so it'd be nice to have something, you know, that's relatively recent in there. And as always, 5 out of 5 or 1 out of 5, none of you are pissing about in between, all right? So, here we go. It's the news. Well, it's my version of the news, isn't it? I'm going to start with some unconventional, that's it. I think I was trying to do unconventional, incontrovertible, and it just, yeah, didn't form a new word. Anyway, first up, the number one news story on nobody's fucking podcast other than mine is Excel are back. Yes! Now, if you are a particular fan of the Microsoft program, let me assure you, this is not your bag. This is not anything to do. This precedes Microsoft Excel. This is Excel, the band, the coolest fuck skate band from back in the day. They have reformed. They have, well, not reformed. They've not gone rebooted like I did either. They've gone sort of like re-released or something like that. I can't remember exactly how they worded it. But go find them on Instagram. It's all on there. The launch, Excel, are back. How cool is that? So, moving on from that, something that I said last week has been rolling around in my head and kind of bugging me. So I thought I would mention it to you guys. And that was the bit about Mrs. Araya, Tom's wife, doing a big post about, hey, like, you know, no one cares, no one's bothered, despite the fact that just written a whole social media post and clearly bothered. But I kind of drilled down into it a bit, and, well, not so much drilled down into it, but it was just that phrase. I've been nagging him for months to make this happen, and the fact that she seemed a bit pissed off that people were moaning about it after she'd done all that. But I just like the idea. I like to think that basically this is a, right, bear in mind, right, Tom Araya, Tom from Slayer, okay? And you're Tom's wife, and he's away, he's doing this, oh, he's back, he's working on a project, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's been 5 years now. What are you doing? What are you doing? If you're not Tom from Slayer, you're just Tom. Will you get out the house? Will you do something? I mean, here's a woman who's been used to a large portion of each year, her husband not being around. So, you know, her independence, her freedom, that's been affected, surely. Yeah? It's a bit like when a sports star retires, you know? And, like, you know, the wife sat there sort of like 2 years later going, who the fuck are you? You're not the guy I married. You know, you've got no get up and go. You don't do anything. The money's not coming in. You've put the weight on. What the hell's going on? Well, I'm just thinking Mrs. Araya has put it right out there in the public domain that she has been nagging Tom to do these gigs. I'm starting to think it's for her benefit. I don't think it was for ours. I don't think it's for Slayers. I don't think it's for Slayer fans. I think Mrs. Araya has gone, for fuck's sake, Tom, will you do something? You're just sitting around all the time, being Mr. X Slayer. And yeah, you wanted to hang out with your family a bit more. Well, we've kind of done that, you know. You imagine the kids, oh, bloody hell, Dad wants to come over again tonight. Really? Oh, God. Yeah. So go on, go and do some gigs. Please do some gigs. Do something. Get a hobby. Yes, I know being in Slayer wasn't a hobby, I know, but come on. You know, you get the picture. So anyway, I'm just thinking, you know, maybe there's a bit of retired sportsman vibe going on there. I don't know. You know, I'm probably completely wrong, but I'm just throwing it out there as complete rubbish. More complete rubbish. Over to the actual news now. Scott Stapp. Now, if you don't know who Scott Stapp is, he is original Creed frontman Scott Stapp. So this next statement, the massive arrogance behind it, will not surprise you. Scott Stapp believes that God's had a hand in making the Creed reunion tour bigger than the band's original run. The level of arrogance is jaw-dropping, staggering. I mean, if we are going to, just for 1 minute, we're going to entertain the concept of deities. Yes, the concept of something doling out rewards and punishments based on individuals' morals decisions. Okay, if we're gonna agree that that is a thing, we're gonna say yes to that. How fucking arrogant do you need to be to think that said deity gives a shit about your band or your band's comeback or your band's comeback tour? Have a word with yourself. Don't be a cunt. Have a day off. Dearie me. Unbelievable. Unbelievable arrogance. In fact, I bet said God is on his or her way to their local bookies, wherever local is to them, in, you know, wherever wonderful fucking sky-dwelling nation they live, they're going to go down the local bookies and collect on their bet that Creed were going to do a reformation tour within 15 years of splitting up. That's probably what's going to happen. Yeah, definitely. Honestly, the level of arrogance is stunning. Oh, and what's Scott's new album called? What's Scott's new album called? Oh, I'll tell you. Yeah, Higher Power. Well, is that Scott, or is that, you know, a higher power? Or are you a higher power, Scott, you massive prick? Anyway, moving on. Next up, there's a new video for the song Smoke on the Water by Deep Purple. That's right, a song that, when this 53-year-old was born, I was 3 when that song came out. There's a new video. There is a new video. The music video nobody asked for. Well, it's out. Go to YouTube, check it out. That's pretty much all I've got to say there, really. Now it's a game of musical chairs for drummers. That's right, musical chairs for drummers. That's what I said. So, Jay Weinberg, he who was booted out of Slipknot, is now confirmed as Suicidal Tendencies drummer. Suicidal Tendencies' previous drummer is now the confirmed touring drummer in Sepultura's final ever tour. And Sepultura's ex-drummer is rumoured to be the new drummer in Slipknot. Hey, musical chairs, or is it musical drum stools? See what I did there, eh? So, yeah, basically, it's looking like that's what's happened. Slipknot posted on Instagram this week, and there was just a picture of a broken drumstick, and it just said rehearsal. Well, Eloy Casagrande is well known for breaking a lot of sticks, being very heavy-handed behind the kit, so very possible that it's him, but let's wait and see. Next up, Judas Priest's Ian Hill is not interested in writing his autobiography. Now, doesn't that make a change? I mean, admittedly, only Blabbermouth could get 250 words out of somebody saying that they're not going to do something and they don't have any interest in it. But hey, it's still a thing. It's just nice to see. There's at least somebody out there who doesn't want to fucking write an autobiography. And then, Iron Maiden's Steve Harris. I'd love to write a book at some point. Is that right? Or read, Steve? Oh, sorry. Only joking, of course. He'd love to write a book. But then again, you know, when you've got Bruce there and he's like writing a book all the time, including apparently in the dressing room at some gigs, he's like, oh, I'm not sure about that. Don't worry, Steve. There's plenty of ways of putting a book together without you actually having to write it. And just about every other musician out there can tell you how. So anyway, that is the sort of so-called news for this episode. Now, it's Julie Weir. Yes, remember, we did an interview last year. It was cool. And we said, you know what, we've got to do part two of this. So we said, yeah, let's do part two. And this is part two that you're going to hear now. So, as we were saying, right, part two.
Yes.
Let's pretend like we're still in the same room.
Yeah, still in the same room.
So, as we were saying, we've both got friends who don't think there's new music coming out, that there's nothing good out there.
Which I couldn't find anything more upsetting than the whole culture of cultural atheism when people get to a certain age and go, wasn't it better when?
I've stopped.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I stopped listening in 1974. Well, you were born in 1978, so have you gone backwards?
Yeah.
But yeah, and I've stopped. I've stopped because music's all the same. I've stopped because music's not creative. I've stopped because, oh, it's just boring. Oh, it's just not as good as when it was when I was a kid. It's just different. There's different stuff out there. And I mean, you're not the same as you were when you were 16. I mean, when I was 16, I was like sort of hiding under a rock, being a goth, wearing everything that was pointy. I got a pickle out of a jar with every piece of clothing I wore, you know. And now I'm slightly more rotund and slightly fluffier, you know. But your musical taste changes, and I will still hear like sort of the start of Bela Lugosi's Dead and get goose pimples. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll still listen to like All Along the Watchtower or something and go, ooh. Because it's one of the things I was listening to when I was about 16.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, well, I'm 52 and I listen to everything from Steve Reich and Morten Garson and contemporary classical and like computer game scores all the way through to like sort of, we were just talking about Manowar before.
Yeah.
All the way through to like sort of old school classic rock and Celtic Frost, all that kind of stuff. And it's...
But that, funnily enough, I think that's why like I'm just always, I've always, as a kid, and it's carried on throughout my life, I'm always searching for the next thing for my benefit, but also the minute that like I find it, I am then going to preach about it to everybody I know.
Musical evangelist. Like,
yeah. Howard has found a new album that he really likes, so he's going to bang on about it for a bit. But it's that, what you were saying earlier about that, like, you know, getting those goosebumps. It's, I'm looking for that. I'm still looking because I know it's out there.
God,
I know
there's a band for you. You
know, oh, have you?
Yeah, I've got vinyl in the cupboard as well. You can have one before you go.
Oh,
it's always nice to bribe the podcast host. But well, no, funnily enough, and I had a meeting about them before, and it's so not what you would expect me to evangelise about.
Mm-hmm.
So, a bunch of lads from Dublin.
Right. Okay.
Some drink Guinness. Some don't.
Right.
Obviously, because they've been through things in the past, and they are now a bit more clean and serene. They look like they would take your head off.
Right.
Again, brilliant. They look like a gang.
Yeah, yeah.
Nicest bunch ever. Smart, authentic, really care about what they're singing about, because it's got one root in like sort of traditional Irish and traditional like sort of lifestyle and their home life, and it's got another foot in like Slayer.
Wow.
Yes.
Right, okay.
This is a band called The Scratch from Dublin.
Right.
And I mean, I'll hold my hands up for complete transparency. We started working with them completely accidentally last year, and we did a show with them at Signature Brew.
Hang on, let me just stop you there.
Yeah.
Accidentally. How does that work?
Well, we kind of got a phone call from the head of Sony Ireland, and lovely lady, and she's just like, I've been told that you can help me. And when you hear that, it's kind of like, oh shit. And I'm like, yeah.
Who's dropped me in it?
What have I done? but she's like, well, we're working with this band, and I know you work with more left field artists, so sent me the stuff. And on description, if you don't listen to them or read into it, it could sound like it could be a Dropkick Murphys-esque band, because the way it was described, not the way that it sounds. And that, to me, is my idea of hell. It's like a big, it's like a musical fight, and it's not funny, and it's also a bit, it's a bit clowny and a bit cartoony, so not really me anyway.
It's professional Irishism.
Yes, exactly. And it's all like, you know, like shipping out to Boston, all that kind of stuff. And I've been in New York one St. Patrick's Day. I never want to hear that song ever again, because I saw so many fights.
Ditto. Anyway,
yeah, exactly.
Same here.
Green beer and fights. Just, I don't need it in my life. But so these guys kind of like dropped onto my desk, listened to it. We loved it. We took it on. We had 3 weeks to set an album up, which is, bearing in mind, you need like 6 to 9 months. But we still managed to make stuff happen. And we did a show up at Signature Brew, which is at our friend's brewery in Walthamstow. Lovely people. They're all pretty punk rock themselves. Set it up there. They really helped us.
Signature Brew. Yeah. Do you know what? Normally, I would have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Other than I walked past it on Sunday because there's...
Walthamstow.
Walthamstow.
Oh, really?
Because there's on the same street, there is a... Well, there's like film studios around and like little odds and ends and gym studios and restaurants and stuff like that. And there's
that's Haggerston. That's East London. That's not Walthamstow.
Yes, no, you're right.
Yeah, because Walthamstow...
You're right. Sorry, you're right.
Like,
yeah.
It's on the wetlands, and it's like, if you walk past that accidentally, I'll be wondering why you were up there.
I was there to film is guesting in a music video, love.
Oh, really, dear?
Yeah, oh, yes.
Fabulous, dear.
Yeah. So, no, it was the Haggerston one, so
but
my apologies.
But from a music standpoint, they do so much stuff, like collaborations and stuff. So we'd organised this gig up there, and we did a collaboration beer for the band, Dirty Bee Porter. Which is not Filthy Bee Porter, Filthy Bastard Porter, sorry.
Swear away.
Well, it's your podcast now. But so we did this collaboration with them. We got like sort of 200, 300 people up there. And it was one of the most joyful experiences of my working life, I would honestly say.
Wow.
And this is a pretty bold statement, right? I've been doing this 33 years. And it was just so brilliant to see everybody from like punk rock kids through to people who like trad Irish stuff, through to people who've seen them at places like Wilderness and like sort of all of these like more bougie festivals going absolutely mad and singing along, and the band being able to be like bamboo and change from like sort of being like really heavy and really like kind of bar brawl fighty hardcore into like this most beautiful melodic, like slow, sad songs. It was absolutely brilliant. But the album is called Mind Yourself. Came out like sort of last year.
Very Irish title,
Mind Yourself.
Like that.
But it's absolutely brilliant, and I can't even put a finger onto why it's so brilliant. But it's because there's nothing else like it, and it's not metal, but they're metal kids. You know, they all grew up listening to like sort of Slayer and Sepultura and stuff like that. Their like sort of biggest like mic drop moment is getting stuff in Kerrang. So you know,
right,
I mean,
it's
like that kind of like sort of kids, because they're lads in the, I would say like late 20s, early 30s, but it's just, it fits so well if you want something that's a bit more of a punch in the face and a kick up the arse, rather than just going and listen to, you know, there's nothing good coming out anymore.
Exactly.
Oh, what are we going to do when Sabbath aren't around anymore?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Find another band, you know.
Well, the thing is, it's like, It's what I don't get about that is it's not either or.
Hmm.
Do you know? It's like you can just make it. Oh, there's nothing decent coming out. Oh, nothing's come out. It's like, well, just
what are you doing? Just play.
Yeah, I know.
There's thousands of search engines every hour.
There's search engines. There's media channels. Yeah. There's, I mean, if you're into metal, there's Blabbermouth. There's fucking God knows what.
There's Discord channels.
Yeah.
There's Reddit. Should you want to go down the old school message board and argue with people? Yeah.
There's YouTube.
Yeah.
Just stick it in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Just put like heavy metal 2023, 2024.
There's loads of video shows. Yeah, stuff that's completely different. I mean, as you know, we work with Wardruna, who've come out the black metal scene and are now into like sort of a more contemporary Scandinavian but trad sound as well, but it's more ritualistic, and I mean everything changes there as well. It's a completely different approach. People who go and see Wardruna are like kids who have like sort of grown up in the black metal scene, or the people who go and see opera. It's insane.
You know, and that's interesting. Do you think, because you'll have more of a take on this than I do, because my listeners, talking to you guys, lots of love, are invariably, I know the age range. Yeah. I'm not going to embarrass you by saying so, guys.
Yeah, but it's the same age range as me, though.
But what I'm saying is age range of that are coming up. Hmm. Would you say that younger generations are more open-minded, that genre music has become more homogenous, and it's not as genre defined or specific as it was, or is it just more genres? You know,
life's got easier because when we were kids, when I was growing up, in order to listen to music, I used to have to go from my mum and dad's house in High Harrington either into Workington, closest town, and that would have been Blue Lagoon Records, or if it was really specialist, I had to go to Carlisle and go to Pink Panther and order something. I couldn't just type something I wanted into Spotify and be able to listen to an entire back catalogue for free in seconds, you know, in the same way as if I wanted to go out and get my stupid Winkle Picker boots.
Right.
I used to have to go to Manchester to do it. I couldn't just click it in Amazon and it'd be there on my doorstep.
Right. So do you think that because of all that, like all the stress and hassle that we used to go through, that made you sort of dig in a bit more. Like, absolutely. No, this is my fucking genre.
Yeah.
It's like I've put the work in here.
But you had to find your people as well. And I mean, the internet has opened up so much stuff and it's a brilliant thing. But I also think it comes with like sort of a cautionary tale of it's great to be able to find your people really easily, but it means that people aren't as entrenched or as dug into stuff because they haven't had to work at it. I got my ass kicked loads of times because I was a screaming goth in working.
Yeah.
I got beaten up in Manchester for it. It was just like, because I had like blue hair and fangs. You know, to be fair, I look like a bloody idiot, but...
Yeah.
But, no, I didn't. I look great.
I always remember our mutual friend, Andrew O'Neill, telling a story. He said he was... once upon a time, he was rocking green hair, but just, like, part of his hair was green. And he was walking past a building site, and this builder was just working away, and he just looked up and just casually went, "Shampoo's fuck, mate."
It's not in your head.
And he was just like, you used to get, and I know it still happens, you know, I know that, you know, people are still getting beaten up for the way they look.
There is bullying tendency, but now people don't pretty much put the stock in themselves. The trolling online is horrendous. And I mean, it's not something that we tolerate at all, because I mean, most of our gigs and anything that we do is a safe space anyway, regardless.
Mm.
Purely because I felt it very hard as a kid, being literally the only goth in the village when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And people should be able to do what they want, where they want. If they're not hurting anyone else, going about their own business. And for God's sake, if you're going to get like sort of your ass kicked over having blue hair or red hair or green hair, what on earth is the world?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of that going on as well in the news at the moment, and it's vile. And I still can't believe that in 2024, people are that narrow-minded, stupid, and that hideous.
Well, you see, I have this theory that...
Everyone's an idiot.
Well...
Sorry.
There's that. that we think that the more amazing shit that we make, that we're better... But we're not. Human beings are essentially the same fucking idiots that were fighting in caves.
Yeah.
We've just got better caves, better shit around us. We're capable of making better shit, but we're still shit.
Yeah.
The worst part of any car is the idiot driving it. Yeah. You know, that's
the most dangerous part of the car.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of like, no, we haven't learned. We still, marijuana's illegal. Cigarettes that will kill you. Oh, they're legal.
I know.
You know, we're still making the same stupid fucking choices, lovely. Living by the same stupid rules.
Yep.
And we don't evolve because evolution takes so long, but we need an evolution of thought, of concept, of everything.
Completely agree. Yeah.
But that ship sailed, you know. Yeah. We're now 600 years, at best, before this planet is unlivable for human beings.
Absolutely.
You know?
Okay, now that, I mean, my partner...
That's a happy happy route I've gone down there, isn't it?
Absolutely, back in the wrong drum. But honestly, I mean, looking at things like... My partner always laughs at me because I've always said I hate flooding, right? And I live on, like, the third floor of a block. Whilst being on crutches, not great.
Right.
But, I mean, the third floor of a block because I don't want to be in London when London floods.
Yeah.
And he's laughed at me for ages. And now, what's happening?
You see.
And where I'm from Cumbria. Cumbria floods all the bloody time.
Yeah, everything.
It's like, everywhere's flooding. It's horrendous.
Yeah.
But scary. But yeah.
Well, anyway, on a lighter... So I took us down that road on a lighter note. To get back to what I was saying before, I'm still looking for that rush. I'm still looking for that, you know, that goosebump moment. And I don't mean a new album by a band I'm already familiar with, because the feeling I'll get from that is a feeling that I remember from the last time I heard something from them that I liked.
Residual
what I'm looking heat. For is brand new band.
Yeah.
Brand new song
that's
just sent shivers up my spine.
Yeah.
And invariably, like, I'm then just playing that song.
And that's like, what you were saying before about what's in your bag?
Yes. Yeah. It's, it's...
Are you going to reveal who it is?
Hey?
Are you going to reveal who it is?
Oh, what? Jesus Lizard?
No.
No, not Jesus Lizard. I'll keep doing that. King Lizard.
King Lizard and the Gizzard Wizard. No,
that's the one. Thank you very much. Yes.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I've heard bits, but then, the last album, I was just like, wow. You know, wow. And there's times listening to that where I feel like I was listening to it on the way here and I was thinking, how can I describe what this feels like, and it feels like the band are doing a tap dance on my head. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's literally like a just keep slapping you around the face going, God, how much more can you take?
The brutalism aside, why do you like it? Do you like it because it feels completely new or it's reminiscent of something else?
Both.
And that's both. Key, isn't it?
Yes.
It's like
it's that juicy combination.
The comfort of the past, but the innovation of the future.
Yes, yeah. And also you'll hear like I know who you've nodded at there.
Oh yeah.
That reminds me of them. Yeah. Well, that their current album, some of it reminds me of Undertow by Tool. You know.
Oh, that's like,
because it's,
he says putting it into my phone now, so I remember to listen to it.
Because it's like it's like that raw era Tool where there's just like it's got that downgraded production.
Yeah.
But it's also it's more like more modern Tool, because there's like 8-minute songs on there, so
well, it's almost like they're being more progressive.
yeah so you get that prog element that Tool have taken to an extreme now, but you've also got a bit of an element of early Tool when they would write 4.5-minute songs and stuff like that, and you're like, yeah, right, okay. And it's that irresistible combination of something that feels unfamiliar and familiar at the same time.
I've got another one for you. Well, I've got another two for you, actually.
Oh, go on then.
See, because you've gone back into more of a... Because I would say, is King Wizard and the Lizard Gizzard? God, honestly, it's like a tongue.
Oh, absolutely, and you know, they've done that on purpose.
But I think you like him because it's a bit more psych as well. It's a bit more, because Tool's a bit more like sort of trippy, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, no, there's a bit of psych in there, there's a bit of rockabilly in there, there's a bit, but that's it, I'm all good. I mean, we're writing an album at the moment, and a guitarist said, I'm not sure about that bit. I was like, what do you mean? He was like, it's a bit death metal. And I was like, well...
That's good though, isn't it?
But I was like, but I'm thinking like how writing an album in 1989, yeah, is that I want to keep the same principles, which is nobody would have gone, that's a bit death metal. Mm. And you know why? Because death metal hadn't been invented yet.
Yes, exactly.
That's why.
Yeah.
So we didn't have the, well, you can't do that because. So yeah. Don't have those, we can't do that because. Just whatever it is, throw it in, see what it sounds like.
And don't bin it,
If it sounds good,
just don't bin it off.
Have it, you know.
Well, interestingly enough, talking about stuff that hadn't been invented, my current obsession is going back towards like sort of old hardcore.
Hey, brilliant.
Because I grew up, one of my favourite bands of all time is Dag Nasty.
Right, okay.
I really love Dag Nasty.
Yeah.
And obviously I love Black Flag. But just talking about stuff the other day, it's like there's one thing missing from our roster at MFN, and it's like it's hardcore acts, and I'd love to find a band that fits that kind of world for us. And we're looking at a band called Grove Street Family. It's a while ago, now signed to Unified, and they're kind of like that suicidal groove, bit of like Chili Peppers, bit of Beasties,
right? Okay,
really good. So their new record's great out on Unified Australian label. But then I found this band the other day through a friend of mine who books a festival in Birmingham called Supersonic. If you've never been, you must go.
Right.
Experimental music, more on the left field side. Also does film, art and things like that.
Oh, right, okay.
It's really fantastic.
Multimedia festival.
It's brilliant, but it's right in the middle of Birmingham. It's flipping brilliant. You can stay in the centre of town. You can go and see the band. You can go and grab a curry. You can go and get some food. You can go on the canal. You know, it's really lovely. But it's a band called Upchuck. US hardcore.
Right, yeah.
Brilliant. Fronted by the most feisty black woman I have ever seen. And she's just an absolute force of nature. So that's another one for you.
Right,
going
okay.
into the hardcore scene. And then, and you'll probably know these guys, but I just think the next level brilliant. Band called Hi-Viz.
No, not aware.
Used to be in a band called Dirty Money, do you remember
that? Oh, right, yeah. Okay, yeah.
But Hi-Viz, they're like a hardcore band meets a shoegaze band meets Oasis.
Oh, right, okay.
Take the Oasis bit out because I'm not an Oasis fan.
Yeah, yeah,
but that's
me
what other people have given as references. And seeing them live is brilliant because it's like hardcore beatdown, insane lyrics, they're just next level songwriting, and they've got a degree of integrity that I can't even describe. They're released through Days in the US, and I think it's self-releasing over here, or it might be Lags's label.
Yeah.
But they're just such an excellent band, and I mean I mean I'm a bit Johnny come lately on it because I've known them since like sort of what, early last year, and we'd done a photo shoot for one of our other artists for Kerrang, and I met the singer on the shoot, and I was talking away to him, and I didn't really know him from Adam, right? It's a guy called Graham Sale, really fantastic personality, brought like Scouser, happens to be like sort of a teacher as well, but also happens to make these amazing like sort of high end like sort of concrete polished tables for like sort of it's insane. And I was talking to him about stuff and I'm like, this sounds brilliant, I'm going to check this band out. And then 2 weeks later I'm obsessed. I bought every piece of merch and every piece of vinyl that there is, and that's not my thing at all because I'm an industry idiot, aren't I?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I've bought everything because the merch is brilliant. The stuff that they do is absolutely insane. And live, it's just next level. So even if you don't buy a record, go and see them live because it's one of the best shows I've been. It was at Islington Assembly.
And who's that again?
Hi-Viz.
Right, okay. Because
sounds like 80s hardcore.
Yeah, it does. Well, so
with a bit of goth thrown in, bizarrely.
Well, are you familiar with Turnstile?
I love Turnstile. Oh. Turnstile, Love Connection.
I mean,
in fact, I've just got the new album. It's just sitting over there on my desk.
What a band.
Thank you to Mr. Danny at Roadrunner. Thanks for that, Dan.
Well, yeah. And another band that I think you'd like, He Is Legend.
Oh, love.
Brilliant. Now, they are so underrated.
What about Zulu?
Don't know them.
But I've listened to Zulu as well. See, this is the kind of, I've kind of fell down a bit of a old school hardcore rabbit hole, but I mean, now you've got festivals like Outbreak up in Manchester. It's like sort of like intelligent hardcore, but it's a proper beatdown festival.
Right, I've got one for you. Gridiron.
No, do not know.
Right. That is...
Are you going through your Spotify?
No. It was like, that was one of my albums of the year last year.
Really?
It's kind of like... It doesn't sound like this, but if Slayer were a rap band, it's like...
Yeah.
It's like, that's... No, it doesn't sound like Slayer with a rapper, no. But if Slayer were a rap band. It's like, it's that kind of thing.
Does it sound like the Judgment Night soundtrack?
No, it sounds a lot more edgy and less produced.
Yeah, exactly. Although I do love that soundtrack.
I don't. I think that's one of the most disappointing releases in history.
It's brilliant. It's got some of the worst collaborations in history on it. It's great. It wouldn't fly now, would it?
No, God, no.
Judgment Night.
Woo. Yeah, I mean, I never got it. I never got it.
I never liked the film, but I really liked the soundtrack.
No, I never got the soundtrack either. I didn't. I didn't.
I'm just going to Spotify now.
Yeah, it was always something where I was just like, oh, God, that... It just felt like a big... This is the sound of a missed opportunity, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing? Oh, even the... It's a Slayer...
Just another victim.
Slayer Ice Tea.
Helmet and House of Pain.
That's terrible.
Teenage Fan Club and De La Soul.
Do you know what this reminds me of?
Biohazard and Onyx.
But do you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of, basically, you look at the soundtrack, you look at the collaborations, and you go, which record label forced all of these artists to work together?
Roadrunner, I think, wasn't it? BMG, sorry. It's in the building.
Hang on, I've been to both buildings.
I know, exactly.
In one day.
You created this soundtrack.
Yeah.
Oh, no, but Another Body Murdered, Faith No More and Booyah Tribe, come on. Mud Honey and Sir Mixer. This is terrible, actually.
Yeah, I know.
Missing Link, Dinosaur Jr.
But I was a massive Faith No More fan at the time, still are. At the time, I just remember thinking, who's this ruining Faith No More? That was like, it's like, this is just no...
Oh, that's just rude. That's the best song on there.
You know.
Well, that says a lot.
Yeah, you have to say. It's like being the world's tallest dwarf, isn't it? It's the best song on there. Yes, no big deal still. Yeah.
But I still stand by the fact that it is a great soundtrack.
I'm not going to disavow you of that opinion, clearly. That's not what I'm here to do. But yeah, Gridiron. Check that out.
That is written down.
But that might be a wee bit too metal. That might be a bit. And don't get me wrong. It's like it's rap and hip hop, but it's the soundtrack is metal.
And I'm going to hate myself for saying this because I can't remember the name. I need to apologise to Shane Embry for it. But Shane did a. It's like a left field project, and it's more like a goth electronica band.
Oh, yeah.
Can you remember the name of it?
No, I can't.
Well, the album's brilliant. Oh, God, that's really annoying.
Yeah, it is. But
well, that's a really good one as well.
But that's recent as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's not been out
really,
long.
Really recent, Shane. Sorry, Shane.
That's all right. This is it always sounds great on a podcast, the sound of someone Googling.
I know, yeah. Sorry.
That's all right.
It's not even going to be in here, though, I don't think, is it? Dark Scat, no. It's not Dark Sky Burial. No. It's not that.
So is that...
It's not even on there.
Oh, well. So you're looking for a hardcore band at the moment.
Yeah, but I mean, it's hard to put a finger on something. I mean, honestly, I'd love to do something with Hi-Viz, but we're a major label and they have way too much integrity to do that, I believe.
Right.
But I think that there's a sound there that we are missing. I love it personally, and it's stuff that I grew up with, so I don't know if it's my 18-year-old self screaming that I kind of want to go down that route or not, but I just genuinely think that Turnstile are doing something brilliant. It's not just the hardcore band, it's the evolution of it, I suppose, because Turnstile started off as a hardcore band, but have changed into something completely different, and that's where I see Hi-Viz as well.
Well, to
it's
me...
progression and development and evolution.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I think, to me... what Turnstile remind me of is they are the Deftones of hardcore.
Absolutely.
They've taken something on a first album that everybody could go, oh yeah, that's cool, I know what that sounds like.
Yeah.
And then immediately, second album, yeah, we're gonna start doing something different.
Yeah.
And then we're just going to keep doing that. I mean, they're one of those bands that if, like, you play a song off, like, album 3 or 4, and you'd say, well, when I got into this band, there's no way that, like, I would have expected these guys to produce anything like this.
And
But they have, and it's still cool, and I like it.
But I love that, because evolution is a fantastic thing. You look at Boy, he never stopped. Absolutely never stopped. Was always changing, always developing, but always remaining true to himself. And that's what I think these bands are actually doing right now. And I mean... For Love More Hate and Bring Me The Horizon are doing it, and they're the only bands doing it, I genuinely think now. And I mean, when I signed them, it was literally scrappy kids from Sheffield still yeah. learning how to play their instruments and still finding themselves. And they have grown into such an insane creative and cultural proposition. And this is what I was saying before about cultural atheism in music, right? I believe in music, and this is for all the people going, oh, there's nothing else going out there. They're probably yeah. the people who haven't watched a film since, I don't know, The Warriors, which is a great film. But,
oh, believe you, you know me, it isn't. It's not. It has not. It has not aged well.
I don't
so
care.
Many men.
It's still the best Saturday Night Live film.
I'll tell you what, though. The one thing I did know about it, I did notice about it, is that well, from when I first watched it to watching Could it recently,
yeah.
was, wow, This is some serious homoeroticism, this movie.
It is,
it
yeah.
It really is.
It definitely is. But I think it's instilled to be there. It's about a brotherhood. That's
yes.
the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
it's instilled in that, and I still think it's a fascinating film, because I also used to get it confused with The Warriors or The Wanderers. Do you remember that one as well?
Yeah.
The Warriors was like sort of the Coney Island one. The Wanderers was like the 1950s like sort of gangs one.
Yeah.
But... fantastic, but going back to cultural atheism.
Yes, yes,
sorry,
yes. No, no. Go for
is
it.
That everything should be tied together. And one thing that Bring Me have always done really well is they know what's going on in comics. They know what's going on in the film world. They know what's going on in the gaming world. They know what's going on with art. They know what's going on in kids' minds, what kids want. And when I'm saying kids, I mean like sort of fans.
Yeah.
But and it's fantastic. And I think bands that are aware of every single kind of strata of lifestyle are the ones that will succeed, because if you just sit there and go band makes good album, it's just not enough for anybody anymore, and that in itself is soul destroying.
Yeah.
But I think if you can sit across everything, it's like I said, I went to see Macbeth on Saturday, you know, not my usual Saturday afternoon.
Yeah,
Saturday,
that's not a band either, by the way. Yeah, exactly. That is the Shakespeare play.
Yeah, exactly. With Ralph Fiennes, please, thank you very much. But see, it's interesting. And
don't you mean Rafe?
Rafe, sorry, Rafe, Ralph, whatever.
Yeah, I know.
All I can say is he was He was very good dressed in fatigues. He was very good.
Oh, good.
But it's a really interesting approach for something like that, because that's been transplanted from the original Shakespearean format into the British Army. It's insane. It's really interesting. And being able to change and evolve and move and like sort of transplant yourself into other places is super smart.
Well, I was talking to somebody who's in the film industry the other day, and this is kind of like a parallel conversation, because band makes good albums, not good enough anymore. Director makes good film, not enough anymore.
Yeah.
For some studios, and say Sony, for instance, it's like, great log line, wonderful script, yeah, marvellous. How do we merchandise this?
And how do we market
how,
it?
How do we make the real money?
How do we tell the story of the story and make money out of it?
Yeah, because ultimately, it's
that's
like
the same as the music industry, though.
Yeah, yeah, because you're gonna you might get a few people go and see it in cinema, then it gets thrown online with a billion other movies and gets forgotten about.
Yeah.
So,
and if you're trying,
what's the X factor
Netflix,
here? Yeah. Why? How can we roll this out?
Yeah.
How will it break through? Yeah. How are we going to get heard above the noise?
Yeah.
Same conversation.
Absolutely. We're almost like looking at Wednesday when that came out. Not that I'm a terrible old goth or anything, but it came out
I consumed that in hours.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
But it's
Tim Burton makes a TV program.
Yes.
Fucking what?
All about it.
Also, after like two episodes, I'm online going, where's this fucking castle?
I know.
Because that's not a set, right? Where's the castle? Because I'm going there on holiday, obviously.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But that is the antithesis of cultural atheism, because it came, everyone went mad. Even the kids who'd never heard of the Addams Family were going, this is fantastic. It's the weird kid at school who's fearless and powerful and is smart but dark and creepy but a bit of a loner. But she's likeable, but she's a bit of an arse. You know, it's just brilliant. It was such a great...
Well, it was almost like the most inclusive programme without, for 1 minute... you being sit there and feel like you're being preached inclusivity is a good thing.
Exactly.
It's just, just put it on screen and people will get it.
And
it's
brilliant, and he didn't have to explain that, and I love that, because when you haven't to start and explain this, and as much as it needs to be done in schools, and it is being done so now, it should be a thing. And I know it's me being all like sort of fluffy about it, but it should be that easy, you know. The kid, and actually, I describe it as like my friend Emma is all like sort of pixie dust and fairies and unicorns at the age of 40 odd, and I'm very much not, but we're really, really close friends. But that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah, it's like, absolutely,
it's like,
yeah.
It's like her going, I really want to go and see, I don't know, Thursday, or like sort of the Story of the Year or something like that, and I'm going, well, I'm going to go and see The Death Cult, you know, because they're touring, they're all about 900, but it'll be good. And she's going, all right, I'll come. And I'm going, and I will go and see whatever you want to go and see and stand at the back and be miserable and hate it, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's why the world works.
Yeah.
So that was a brilliant, that was one of the best marketing things ever.
Yeah, absolutely. And also you had that generation of like, right, so because Tim Burton touches so many different generations, oh, as filmmakers do.
Yeah.
But he's also got, you've also got the kids who didn't know the Addams Family, mm-hmm. but did know Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
And which, incidentally, because big fan of that movie.
Oh, me too.
Disney didn't know what to do with it. Mm. I mean, it's not, you know, it's a Disney film.
Yeah.
And this was made, like, in the midst of Disney just making fluffy shit.
Yeah.
They had no idea what
to
do with it.
But it's got Disney sentiment, but it was just so dark. But now Disney knows dark cells. It's like,
well,
sense cells.
This is it.
Dark,
yes.
Shit cells. Like, Harry Potter, for God's sake. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, when I was reading the books of that, I started reading it because my best friend Caroline, her eldest, had started reading them. And she was like, well, I'm not going to read it. And she's like, you read it with Sev. And I'm like, huh? The book's like that thick. Like, what? I don't have time. And then I'm like, oh, Sev, I'm on book two. I'm on book two. You've got to catch up. And he's like, shit. So we'd read them together and talk about it. And Caroline'd be like, what on earth are you two talking about? You're talking about spiders that live in the woods and like sort of horcruxes and pointy things and like Hagrid and Fluffy the dog with three heads. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, and she, but she was loving it. So she's living vicariously through it. Then loved the films.
But again,
dark shit itself.
And again, someone's got to spot that, because ultimately, like a band rejected by every label, that was what happened to J.K. Rowling with, you know, with Harry Potter.
Exactly. And it's fantastic, but again, it's given people the space to exist, because again, Harry Potter, like the cult of Harry Potter is a safe space for misfits, right? Same thing as Wednesday, she's a misfit. It gives people the validation to be themselves. And I like that, and I like those stories.
Yeah.
Because then I just wish there was more of them around when I was a kid. I mean, we had the original Addams Family and the Munsters, which I still love, apart from Rob Zombie ruined that, sorry.
No, it's all right. He's just ruined everything he's ever done.
Yeah, House of 1000 Corpses, all right.
Yeah, it's just a shame he wasn't one of the corpses.
Oh, that's mean.
I know, I mean. It's plain to type.
I think generally you can do no wrong.
Oh, right, okay. Generally, I don't think he can do anything. I wish he'd give up on music and music.
Oh, no,
sorry, music and movies. Like,
oh,
just
God,
stop.
I loved White Zombie.
When he did that tour with women in cages, and he's just like, oh, you know, I never, oh, no, no, it's like, I'll shove your diggity diggity rock and fuck off. Go on. Piss off down the barbecue.
I still like
fall into it after five beers.
But he had a female bassist.
I'm sure he did. Mm. But I tell you what. It's also, and this is the thing, it's like you can't write anyone off, because I saw him in an interview and it was a documentary about Slayer and he's in it for about 30 seconds and he's just sits there and he goes, yeah, I never met anybody who was into Slayer for one summer. You get into Slayer, that's you for life.
Yeah.
I was just like, that's a fucking great way of putting it.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
true though.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, so I might not like anything you do, but I kind of like you cut to your chin.
But now I've got you, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think he's got the right kind of attitude, he's got the right kind of approach, because he loves like surf stuff. I love the whole Dick Dale phenomenon and all that kind of stuff. And when he was doing all of the, he did that record label that was all like weird kind of left field horror surf stuff.
Yeah,
which I really loved, because I'm just a terrible kitsch old goth that just like, honestly, if there's a skull on it, I'll flip him by it, you know what I mean? It's like,
right,
that,
okay.
That much of a revert to type for me, but I really like him, and I think he's smart, and the fact that he went into that kind of filmmaking role, because he was trying to reinvent and reactivate all the stuff he loved as a kid, I kind of buy into that. I like it.
And that
clown was genuinely scary.
Well, look, I'm amazed, not as scary as the least talented member of Slipknot. Like mean, remember. So it's great, like you said, it's my podcast, do you know what I mean? It's like, but I can see how, I can see his motivations for doing all of that. I just don't like anything he's managed to manifest as, you know, creatively.
I suppose why I like it, and I suppose this is like sort of a terrible admission as well, really, because I find it quite cartoony, and I find that quite comforting in a lot of ways.
Right, okay. Yeah. No, I just don't know, there's just something about, just never done it for me. Never done it for me.
Well, bless your role. I love you. I'll be coming to see you when you come on tour again, love. Don't worry. Howard Warnes.
Yeah, no. Maybe put me on the guest list.
yeah. Get him free.
Yeah. Hey, get that guy who hates me down. I don't hate anyone.
No, I like you for what you said about Slayer, Rob. How about that?
Yeah, absolutely. But that's it. It is. It is like, you know, there is... You can like, you know, write people off at your peril. There's that. I guess it's the same thing as, and Rob Zombie's a good example of this. I'm not going to praise the guy. While simultaneously not liking anything he's done, but it's the exact opposite of stay in your lane, which I hate.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, I found myself saying it about somebody, and I can't remember who it was. I don't think it was Rob Zombie. I was like, oh, fucking stay in your lane. And then as I was saying it, I was thinking, says the comedian lead singer doing a podcast. Well, there's three things right there. Stay in your lane. Just do the podcast, or just do the band, or just do comedy. Oops, yeah.
But everybody's got to be a polymath now. And you mentioned Andrew before.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Script writer, actor, stand-up comedian, musician.
Yeah.
General occult polymath as well.
Yeah.
Fantastic creature. An interesting fella.
Yeah.
Person.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
But it is about those, like you're saying about Bring Me the Horizon.
Mm.
They've been across everything. Well, funnily enough, I stumbled across the single they brought out in January.
Mm.
And because I liked the album Sempiternal.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I never liked it. I haven't liked anything. They've been on a journey, let's say.
Well, definitely.
But then I heard the new single and I was like, nah, there's stuff in there that I like. Like, there's
new metal influences in there, definitely, is what I heard.
It's almost like, for me, it's like they've gone from Sempiternal and they've gone on a journey through pop, and they're just coming back round
towards
there, but they've brought a lot of pop sensibilities with them, having been on that journey. And that then took me into the song Kingslayer with Baby Metal. Now,
yeah.
The whole concept of baby metal is not for me, and it's a corporate money-making machine, simple as that. It's Simon Cowell, Japanese style, robbing kids of their pocket money. But anyway.
Bro, I think it's a fascinating concept.
I think it's a money-making... It's just print the money. Just print the fucking money. Brilliant.
It's incredibly successful.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, well, they were put together by the largest entertainment company in Japan, weren't they?
Yeah.
It's not some girls who like metal who decides to form a band.
It's successful, you know, by design.
But it is hugely successful.
Things like BTS.
And something that I'd completely written off, not interested, just fuck off, no. And then they end up doing Kingslayer with Bring Me the Horizon, and I just discovered the new single, and then I found that, and I was just like, I was literally kind of saying to myself what I was saying earlier about don't write anybody off, because there's almost something that anybody can do that, you know, you are going to like, that they may have done something that, you know, is going to cross your, you know, your taste borders,
well,
or whatever
it is.
That's
exactly my point, right? Because I've got, this is really bad though, right? This is letting you into my Spotify secrets.
Oh, but dear.
My best playlist in Spotify, I mean, there's loads of other stuff like terrible old goth shit and stuff like that, literally, quote. But then there's just a playlist that's called Julie One. Right?
Right.
And it was the first playlist I ever set up.
Ah, hence the title.
Yeah, Julie Wanted, just because it's just easy so I can find stuff, right? And oh my God, this is like, it's hysterical when you see what's on there, because anytime I hear something I like now, and this is what we're saying about why don't people stay in the lane anymore, or why don't people stick to one genre, because you can hear something you're like, oh, amazing, boom, I can put it in there, which is my own radio station, right?
Yeah.
So, and this is what will really make you laugh. Oh, God, I'm going to out myself really badly on this. There's 500 tracks on it, but I'm going to go with, like, the last bit of it, right?
Right, okay.
So I have... That's when I reached my Revolver, Mission of Burma. Come on, pretty decent. On the Ropes, The Wonder Stuff. Mango by Dag Nasty. Not one of the finest tunes, but I really love it. Then Blinded by the Light, Manfred Mann. And this is terrible, right? But then I'm just going to, like, sort of go down a bit. Then there's things like No Rule by Manchester Orchestra. But then, and talk about discoverability and never write anything off. Disney film, and I can't even remember the bloody name of it. And I found a really fantastic band on a Disney film soundtrack because they used a track called Slaughter of an Ancient Tribe.
Nice.
They're called The Brat, Chicano Punk from LA in the 80s.
Wow.
Yeah. The Brat, Slaughter of an Ancient Tribe, and a track called The Wolf. I think they made one album and split up, but Disney used two tracks on a soundtrack. How good is that? Never write everything off.
Do you know what? Shazam is working for me as well because I found, and I wish I knew what the song was, but there's a current TV series of, what's it called? It's a True Detective Sky. And the theme tune, the current one, is really weird.
Mm.
It's like, and I was like, this is odd. So Shazammed it because you want to, you know, like the soundtrack, which, you know, which one man band put this together.
Yeah.
It's a fucking Billie Eilish song.
Yeah.
What?
See what I mean?
I'm like,
exactly.
Eh?
Yeah.
So download it. Yeah. Fucking love it. Can't stop playing it. There's an ethereal quality to it.
Absolutely.
That's brilliant. Just like, oh, and the lyrics are really dark. And I was just kind of like, yeah, this is, and funnily enough, you know, we're talking about, you know, like coming across media and all the rest of it. One band who I have been on board with since single number one, the first album's fucking fantastic, still one of my all-time favourites, and first three, The Streets.
Absolutely love it. Funnily enough, I just re-downloaded them into my Spotify last night.
New album,
yeah.
New movie, the whole thing. The album is the soundtrack to the Yes movie that will be in cinemas.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I missed that completely then. Yeah,
yeah, no, no, I heard a new single and I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then, funnily enough, again, talking about going cross genres, where do I hear all about the new album and how it was made and the video and the film and how long that took and blah, 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 and all the in-depth shit behind that? Because Mike Skinner was on a boxing podcast and he's a huge boxing fan. He doesn't do interviews, he doesn't do podcasts really.
Because he doesn't talk about his music.
But he loves boxing.
That's nuts.
So he got to sit on there and ask a boxer all about, like, boxing. So then the boxer gets to ask him all about music, so he has to talk about it.
Because he loves the boxer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But you see, that is genius. And that, again, when we're doing marketing stuff in here now, and funnily, if we just had a meeting with a PR person this morning, we were just talking about, she's just changed companies and she's setting something else up. And we were talking about how it's important for when people do PR, don't just do like a tick box approach, don't just go, you know, band does interview with Kerrang or Metal Hammer or like sort of, I don't know, Iron Fist or someone.
Yeah.
It's got to be, for me now, band does that, band does lifestyle stuff. Talk about computer games. Talk about fishing if you like fishing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Talk about, go on and speak to Empire if you like film.
And I need to put you together with Paul Waller, who used to sing in a band called OMS, but now does
who now does the... Who was signed to...
Yeah.
Paulie Raw?
Yes. No, you're right. They've split up now.
Oh, really?
Well, he's now full-time podcast A Year in Horror. And has
A
people
Year
from,
in Horror?
And has people from bands on regularly.
Oh,
and
my
it's like four 90-minute episodes a month. It's like, basically, every month he will do an entire year of horror movies. So he'll watch like 60, 70 movies in a month.
Oh, my God.
And then go through them all, rate them all, but he's been going 3 years. It's blowing up. It's fantastic. I'm really pleased for
him. That sounds fascinating. I'm writing that down now.
And he's had he's had all sorts of people on, and directors like, you know, Neil Marshall, who did Dog Soldiers and The Descent and things like that.
Oh yeah, big horror fan. And actually, Amy from Witch Fever.
Oh, is that Dave Lombardo on, for fuck's sake?
Oh my God, yeah.
And you can't get Dave Lombardo on anything, but he'll do things like that.
Yeah, and that's what you need to do. And that's, and again, that's a shame. I didn't realise they split up, actually. Shame, because really good band.
Yeah.
But that, see, that's fascinating, but that's what's good, and it's cross-pollination, and and people need to do it more. And again, don't stay in your lane is the point there, isn't it, really?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
If you stay in your lane, you'll just curl up and die now, because your lane gets a lot narrower.
Yeah, but also there's so much more media out there.
Yeah.
And it is, it's literally like, right, okay, so we've got the band. Find out what they're into. Whoever's going to be doing interviews, you know, because, you know, if they don't want to do interviews, fine. But whoever's going to be doing them, find out what they're into. You know, are they into movies? Are they into fishing? Are they into sport? Yeah. Are they into like whatever?
Are they do they cook? Are they vegan or veggie?
Yeah.
Do they like a drink? Do they not drink? If they don't drink, do they like sort of like tea and coffee? Or do they go down the like seed lip route or something like that?
Yeah, because there'll be podcasts, there'll be radio, there'll be TV, there'll be websites, there'll be magazines. There will be, there's media out there. Once
cycling's our big one.
There you go.
Cycles. I think it's just dangerous for me.
Yeah,
especially in bloody London. Bad news.
Not something I do a great deal of. I'm a car driver, so, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm neither. I'm just getting, well, I'm a crutch driver at the moment.
Yes, I should point out at this point that Julie is somewhat one-legged at the moment, having had a very nasty knee injury. And we have spent
spring
a lot of time.
Spring roll related.
Yes. Yeah.
Still funny.
Yes, just remember those spring rolls, kids. They're more dangerous. They're more dangerous than they
look.
They'll
bite you in the arse.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're slippy little buggers as well.
Yeah. But that's an interesting one, you know, you're talking about cooking. That's like, if you, that's almost like a holy grail as well. Like, cycling is big.
Rock and roll.
Cooking is big.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though, the big one, cycling, cooking, the big one. If you can get a band and a member of the band who's into gardening.
Really?
Or the most popular pastime in the UK.
I'd never even thought about it because I am literally scared of everything smaller than me that moves faster.
It's the most popular pastime in the UK.
See, that's a really interesting thing.
Gardener's World kicks the fuck out of the other programme on the BBC. Honestly, Monty Don, it's like a cult figure, that guy.
Oh, yeah.
If he started his own religion, Donism would be on the list of religions.
He's literally the Don.
There'd be more than him. There'd be more.
What about the Don? Which one?
Yeah, there'd be more Dons than Jedis. Honestly, gardening is the thing.
I love the idea of that. You see, for me, it's gardening or, like, sort of rambling conservationism, because as much as...
Or rampant conservationism.
Rampant conservationism. Well, I mean, I used to... When I was a kid, on Sunday nights, when it used to come to, like, sort of doing things like Antiques Roadshow and Country File...
And then go to bed.
And then go to bed, Or you try and stay up and watch something stupid, like the snooker, just to stay up. But I love Country File. It's nuts.
Yeah.
And I'm from Cumbria, and I'm not really a very country person. I'm more, like, sort of towns and cities. But I absolutely love watching it. Can't explain.
Yeah, but isn't there a little bit of the what we were talking about music about, like, you know, remote, you know, you it takes you back to a place,
the comfort of childhood, I suppose. It's because I love watching stuff like, you know, like Christmas in the Lakes and anything about Cumbria. I am all over it, and I'm so Cumbrian through and through.
That's a shame now, because most dramas are someone's getting killed.
I know, exactly.
In a small village.
Exactly. There's a lot of murders in the Lakes. Do you ever remember the series The Lakes?
Yes.
Where everybody was like sort of taking drugs and shagging, and all the Cumbrians are up in arms about it. Everybody from Ambleside is like, ooh, we didn't do that up here. And it's like, well, you don't see what the 16-year-olds are doing, do you?
No.
Behind the bike sheds and in that shed over there, in the barns.
Well, let's go back one stage further. Bergerac, based in Jersey.
Absolutely.
I mean, the crime rate in Jersey. Where all they needed to do was take Detective Bergerac out of Jersey, and bingo, look, you know. And apparently every criminal in the world knew Charlie Hungerford, his mate.
Absolutely.
I can't believe these names are just coming back to me. That is really
quite
weird.
I like Bergerac, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, but there was, because there was fuck all around, wasn't there?
Absolutely, you know? There's nothing on. Well, I mean, there's three channels, you mean?
Yeah.
And Bergerac was the height of your Sunday night viewing. Ooh, 8 o'clock on a Sunday, it's Bergerac.
Crossroads.
Oh, God, even the music's... I've got a bit of
ding,
PTSD on
ding,
that.
Ding, 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 yeah.
Oh, yeah, no.
Oh, that was my key to go to bed. That was like, you know... Yeah.
See, that's what you're bringing back now. That's so scary, isn't it?
I remember my mum... singing along to the
the
Crossroads theme. She was like, ding, 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 bed, 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 bed.
That's quite funny.
Yeah, and I'd just be like, oh, fuck off.
See, I think my two from my childhood were the Doctor Who theme tune, which still to this day fills me with terror, because the Daleks and the things with like sort of the big round heads.
Yeah.
With, I can't remember what they were called.
Cybermen.
No. Sontarians.
God.
Yeah. Big loon. Horrible. And then the other one was Tales of the Unexpected. Come on.
Oh. Dun, dun, when you were injured recently, did you manage to stroll across some episodes? Because there's usually a channel showing Tales of the Unexpected.
I thought, yeah, but I didn't watch, because I find them still a little bit scary.
I was just going to say, they're still like off the heads.
There's one I remember specifically from when I was a kid, and somebody had fallen on a plough, right? And then my dad stopped me watching it because it was a bit scary. But like a farmer had fallen on the plough, and it was a really graphic scene of him falling on the plough.
I remember one where a guy used to bet people about being able to strike. He's got this lighter, and every time he strikes it, there's a flame, and he strikes it, and there's a flame every time. And he has a conversation with this guy. He says, like, you know, do you bet me that I can do this like 5 times in a row? And he's like, or 10 times in a row, whatever it was. And he goes, what do you want to bet? And he said, I want to bet your finger. So he like literally ties his hand down to a table with his little finger sticking out. And he says, if it doesn't, if it lights, I'm taking your finger. If it doesn't, then I'll give you like, you know, $5,000 or something like that, which was a lot of money back then. And I can't remember exactly what happened.
That's terrifying.
But then, but this woman comes along as he's about to chop this guy's finger off or something. He says, stop, you know, what are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, sort of cowed by her, and like for some reason she says this guy says, oh, thank you, you know, he's going to take my finger. And she says, oh, it's all right, he wants I lost a lot of stuff to him, but I got it all back in the end. And she holds her hand out to shake hands with him, and she's only got 3 fingers on her hand. I know, and I'm like, I came across that exact episode and I was like, I don't think I could watch this.
But I mean, how dark is that then?
Oh yeah, yeah. Properly. Armchair Thriller.
Oh yeah, I remember that as well. That's the other one.
And the old Hammer House. I mean, that was just legendary.
Oh, Hammer House of Horror was absolutely fantastic. But I still swear to God, the reason I'm a terrible old goth is my mum used to make me sit up with her and watch like all the Hammer films and Hammer House of Horror because she was scared. So I've watched Hammer since I was about 6.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, when I look at some of the, like, listen to Paul's podcast, funnily enough, and like, the years and some of the horror films that come up, and I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And then I do the maths and work out how old I was when I was watching these films. And I was thinking, like, my parents didn't give a shit. Well, actually, no, that's wrong. My mum, like you, my mum would watch every film, but she wouldn't. Like, if we went to the video shop, it wouldn't be like, oh, we can't get that. That's a 16 and you're 14.
Yeah.
It'd literally be like, right, what are we watching? Oh, no, so we'd pick a film and then just get your diary out.
I had that, but I watched Hammer with my mum, but then when my mum and dad would go out, so me and my friend Toggy would be like sort of, we'd go to the video shop and we'd do like a horror film marathon. You know, it would all be like The Exorcist, The Evil Dead, Basket Case, Reanimator, still one of my favourites. You know, all that kind of stuff, like just really bad horror.
Yeah.
And I still love it now.
Yeah, but the thing is, we say really bad horror, but at the time, it was just horror.
From Beyond's the other one. It was very all H.P. Lovecraft.
Oh, just like American Werewolf in London, The Howling, and all that. All that era. Then they had the House movies, you know,
I love
all
House,
that.
Actually. That was great. Yeah.
Fright Night.
Original Fright Night. Not
yes, Roddy McDowall, come on.
Fantastic.
You know,
absolutely
it's that
fantastic
geezer from Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yeah.
It's the nice monkey.
It was Galen. Was he Galen?
Maybe. Yeah.
The friendly monkey.
The friendly
monkey. He wouldn't rip your head off. Yeah. He wouldn't eat you. No, I loved Roddy McDowall. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
so
I know.
Good.
I know. Do you know what?
I'm going to see if that's on the telly tonight, actually, that.
Well, do you know what? I think that's a great place to leave it because we've got off on a total tangent.
Oh, yeah, on a horror film tangent.
Yeah,
I really want to meet Paul doing that podcast.
Right, I'm going to introduce you to Paul. Thanks for coming on, mate.
Anytime. Enjoyed it, as usual.
Me too, Julie. Me too. Always a pleasure. It's kind of weird because Julie and I know so many people in common that it kind of feels like we've known each other longer than we have, which isn't actually that long. It's, well, you've been listening to it. It's these two interviews. But she's an incredible woman. Love talking to her about music. Could do all day. Hope you enjoyed that. I have to say that whilst you were listening to that, It's quite a big file, so that while that was downloading, I decided to get stuck into a tin of corned beef in my cupboard. Now, haven't had corned beef in quite a while, and I'd forgotten that human evolution has meant that we are still stuck with, for some reason, opening tins of corned beef differently to the way we open tins of just about every fucking other thing on the planet. For some reason, we seem to think that there needs to be some sort of key involved in opening a tin of corned beef, where you have to basically try and run the risk of, if that little piece of metal that you're winding around, if any of that comes undone or snaps, you're fucked. Well, guess what? Yeah, I was fucked. It snapped. So, long after this interview downloaded and I should have been back here carrying on editing, instead, I was in my kitchen, swearing at inanimate objects, cutting my fingers, and using eventually a pair of fucking pliers to open a tin of corned beef. What is the world coming to? Anybody out there who designs containers or anything like... Come on. We've got to get started on the fucking corned beef tin. It can't still be this key fucking arrangement. That's as old as me. It's always been like that. Why has nobody gone, this is fucking bullshit? Put it... And what's wrong with having it in a normal shaped tin? Why is it in the shape of a fucking doorstop or something that nothing else is the shape of? It's like a rectangular that is narrow at the top. And why does corned beef have to be narrow at the top and wide at the bottom and have a key to open it? Honest, these are the things that matter, folks. These are the issues that are important that no one else covers. Fucking hell. And I asked you to do a review earlier, didn't I? Yeah, don't review this episode. Anyway, until next time, catch you later.